This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brand. By the end of the week, more than 400 children taken from the FLDS compound in Texas will be living in foster homes around the state. A judge issued the ruling yesterday, and the first 100 or so kids were shipped out of the Coliseum they had been living in for more than 2 weeks. Mary Lou Alvarez represents five of the mothers. She's a legal aid lawyer. Welcome to Day to Day.
Hi.
Well, how many children do your clients have, and how old are they?
Well, generally speaking, my clients have, amongst all of them, 14 children that range from 6 months until to about 12 years of age.
And what will happen to those children?
Well, I mean, that's the question. Right now, they are scheduled to be taken to placements throughout the state of Texas. Yesterday, the judge signed an order at the request of the department to lift the traditional five-county restriction that is typical in CPS removal cases. And now, for me, example, I've got a client whose children will be in Corpus Christi, Texas, Waco, Texas, and Lubbock, Texas, unless I can get some mediation with the state and try to make sure that those placements are more reasonable.
What does a five-county restriction mean?
Typically, when the state removes a parent's child from the home, they are limited to where they can place that child pending litigation. So if you limit where the children are placed to five counties, then the theory is that the child will be able to be visited by their parents in order to minimize the trauma and for my clients so they can at least exercise some of their parental rights.
So now you're fighting for just closer placement, but in general, the bigger fight you're fighting is not to separate the mothers and children.
Right. The biggest fight is for the state of Texas to return the children to their home. That's the bigger fight. My clients want to be reunited with their children.
Well, the state is saying it has clear evidence that minors have been sexually abused, that they have teenagers who are pregnant, and that they simply can't wait around for a five-year-old to turn 13 and be possibly sexually abused.
The state is saying a lot of different things, and I don't think that any of what they're saying really has any validity in typical CPS removal cases. I mean, we've got a
Well, this is hardly this is hardly a typical CPS removal case.
We've got clients whose individual rights were completely ignored. We've got the state of Texas who came into court on a two-day hearing and provided approximately 26 exhibits, three different witnesses, to put on some evidence that there was some danger to some children. And that got broadened to include over 400 children. I mean, the evidence that the state has is very specific, and as it should be, because these allegations of abuse and these allegations of neglect are very serious allegations, and the state does have an interest in protecting the children that are at issue. What the state shouldn't be doing is using the evidence to condemn an entire community.
But
I mean,
Child Protective
Services community, it's like a gated community. It would be like going into the Dominion, which is a gated, wealthy community here in the city of San Antonio, and saying, well, I have two or three instances where I've got specific evidence of abuse, and I'm going to take away the entire community's children.
Wait, you're saying that the FLDS is the same as any other gated community? Any sort of suburban community? You're just saying this just happens to be a group of people living in the same area and that there isn't anything else tying them together in terms of their affiliation with this religion?
I mean, definitely there's a religious connection, but I mean, we've got to see what is it that we're talking about. Is the state of Texas coming in and saying what's a danger to these children is their religious faith? And their religious beliefs?
Well, not that. They're saying that part of those religious beliefs include the sexual abuse of minors.
No.
And you're saying that that doesn't happen.
Include believing that it is a blessing to be married. Part of the
when you're 13?
Include believing that it is a blessing to have children. Nothing, and I'm coming up to speed on this religious faith. But nowhere that I've seen up to date is there a mandate that children 13 get married. That just doesn't exist.
That would
be like saying the Pope has mandated that all Catholic girls at 13 get married.
But what if you did? What if you did come across instances where young girls, maybe not as young as 13, but definitely underage girls, were married and had children of their own?
In the state of Texas, 16 and 17-year-old girls, with the consent of their parents, can get married. Are the parents who give that consent neglectful and abusive? That's a statute. I mean, we've got to start talking and really evaluating what the state's evidence truly is. And this vague, amorphous, constantly changing, oh, it's their belief system that's dangerous. I think most Americans, particularly most religious Americans, should be appalled that that's what the state gets to get away with saying. And the evidence that came up in the two-day hearing was that this belief system consisted of a principle of believing that it is a blessing to be married and a principle of believing that it is a blessing to have children.
The judge asked CPS what the moms would need to do to get their kids back. And there were some specific things that CPS said, Child Protective Services. And they said the moms would need to be psychologically evaluated. They need to undergo counseling, get their own apartment, and get a restraining order against their husbands. Basically, essentially turn their back on the FLDS. Would any of your clients consider doing any of those things?
I think generally our clients are demonstrating their cooperation with CPS. They submitted themselves and their children to a DNA testing. They have voiced their desire to cooperate with CPS. They have voiced their desire to have a service plan. I mean, CPS needs to come up with individual service plans for these individual mothers to follow. And that's what the 60-day hearing is going to be about. That's starting on June 5th. I mean, the judge said we are going to start looking at these cases on an individual basis because there are individual rights at issue here. And starting June 5th, we'll start to have hearings. Hopefully, there'll be individual hearings. And we have demonstrated more than a willingness to cooperate with the state of Texas in order to alleviate whatever concerns the state of Texas may have regarding the safety of the children. I mean, but we've got to really pay attention to what's happened. The children are supposed to be protected from abuse, but most of these children, I mean, this is the most abuse that they've seen in their lives. And so if the goal of the state is to return these children back to their homes with the assurance that there is no abuse or neglect being experienced by them, our clients are willing to cooperate and show the state of Texas what they need to know. I hope that answered your question.
It does. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Mary Lou Alvarez. She's a legal aid lawyer who represents five of the mothers from the FLDS compound in Texas.